Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com, a Paramount podcast. I am Mike Casaza here today, a rapid reaction to expected news. West Virginia men's basketball job open and on the market. First time in really quite some time, not just for Bob Huggins' sake, but also, man, it's been many, many years since the Mountaineers had a full-blown coaching search. Here to discuss the news with me is not the vacationing Chris Anderson, but the suitable fill-in Andrew Corbett. Andrew, first, welcome. Thanks. People appreciate the cameo here. Number one. Number two, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 1 for a surprise for you, and a 10, I'm guessing, for interest, because what happens now may happen fast. It's going to be really newsy, I'm sure. From your perspective, though, I don't know. How fun, how intriguing, how interesting, how dramatic could be the next part of this process? Not a lot of drama or surprise to get to here. Feel like we're going to make up for that in a hurry, huh?
Oh, yeah. So this was totally expected. Everyone knows that. But it's a 10. It's a 10 out of 10 for what's about to happen, because I mentioned it on a post on the board two months ago, that this was going to be the biggest topic in WVU sports in 2 months. And now here we are. And a new basketball coach is something that hasn't happened in years. So this is going to be critical.
You think Neil Brown with his new contract is like the crying Jordan gif? Like, he's got all this mojo. He's like Robin Hood. He's given to the poor on his staff. He's done the great thing for the people. He's got a top 25 program starting spring football on the 25th, and all we're going to be doing is talking about the men's basketball coaching search. That's fine. Spring football is off to the side. Off-season doesn't exist in either sport. That includes basketball. And let's go to how do we get here. I almost called you Chris. How do we get to here? How do we get to here, Andrew? And again, not a surprise here, but if you look back at the beginning of this whole thing in let's say – mid-June, when it all goes haywire, there are talks about hiring a full-time coach in the summer, right before season, after portal season. Extremely hard to walk away from a team, extremely hard to walk into a team at that part of the calendar. They land on Josh Eilert, interim in 300-point font. It's pretty clear what they're going to do. There's always a hope it may work. There's always a curiosity it may work. They go with this kind of maybe logical, maybe illogical interim setup. And I can't tell if that was a good idea or a bad idea at the moment. Right now, it just seems like that was the best bad idea. Did it hurt them at all?
I mean, regardless what you did, what decision was made by Ren Baker, this season was most likely not going to go well, given the time frame of everything happening. Having that happen in the summer, cutting the offseason in half And not just in half, you get the bad half. The portal movement's already happened. So you're just trying to left pick up the pieces of who you can get. And the candidate pool is so small as far as players and coaches, obviously, because they don't want to leave their team that they've already built this offseason this close to the season. So I, of all the bad decisions, and they're not bad decisions because it's not their fault, but this was the right one because now you have the full candidate pool. This is why Josh Eiler was made the coach, because now we have all the options for West Virginia.
The right, wrong idea.
Yeah.
Okay, we can call it that. Best, bad idea, right, wrong idea. I guess my question then would be, again, was there damage? And I don't think it's bad for two reasons. Like, you look at what they did here, worst regular season in school history, and you go out shopping with that. There's not a lot of room on that credit card. You know, there's not great spending power with 9-22 and a last place finish. Extended a little bit, 9-22, last place for the third time in 6 years. 0-9 in the Big 12 for the third time in 6 years. They've been miserable away from home in Big 12 play. It's more than a one-year thing. That's not good, but is it worse than it was? I don't know. And then would the situation automatically be in a better spot had they hired a full-time coach in June or July of last year? I can't say that either. And I think that, to your point about the pool of candidates, restricted at that point last year, much more expansive now, I'm not sure that they go out with a bad product or a worse product. Like, it was in the shaky shape before, and I think what this does this season is say, yeah, if you don't have the right leadership, the right coach, this is a tough job. We like you. We think you can be the right coach, make this the better situation. Come on down and take it. What is good and inviting about this job then, Andrew? Because West Virginia would like to think that it's a top 15 program. People know about the facility, some of the budget. You can spend a little bit in the coach. It's in the Big 12. That all sounds good too, but it just seems like the blank slate is really inviting for the right coach here too. What speaks to a prospective head coach, or is it a bit intimidating because of all the negative stuff I just talked about?
I think the most intimidating thing about the job is being the guy who follows the guy, which is something that not a lot of people want. And by the guy, I mean Bob Huggins, not Josh Eiler.
Oh, okay.
In case there was any confusion. But I think there's obviously a lot of upsides, because talk about the NIL budget. There's been a lot of conflict on that topic on the board, I think, because obviously what Huggins was given for this season feels like a one-off. You've mentioned that. But it means that if you do get the support of the donors, that there is a large NIL pool of money there for you if you prove it to them. So I feel like that is really inviting if you're a coach looking to take the job.
What do we think of Josh Eiler? I think people are going to be sympathetic for him because he never asked for this and he always wanted it. And to get what you wanted under really bizarre circumstances, you could feel bad. I'm not sure you can dislike the guy because of what he did this year, but I think you're also looking at a guy who made significant wealth this year and at least situates himself in a better profile going out. I'm not sure who hires him. I'm not sure that it's an automatic this year. He might be here. He might be away for a year. I don't know, but I feel like the first paragraph of the story here on Eilert is going to be so different for so many people because of the way you can interpret it. I have my thoughts, but as someone who watches the game, as you do, closely, analytically, critically sometimes, but also with praise, there are ups and downs, far more downs than ups, but man, it's impossible to get a real beat on this because of how unique the situation was. Where do you stand? How should we look at this season and his performance?
I mean, it's just hard. The situation he was put in, he's been waiting for it for a long time, but you almost feel bad because he didn't get a fair chance at all. I mean, if this is what people are going to remember you for, the start of your head coaching career, I mean, that's rough because it's just impossible to rally those guys. It feels impossible after what happened, at least. I mean, they lost 9 of their last 10 games. That didn't feel great. But I think overall, there is a chance. I don't work in the athletic department. I'm not an athletic director. But if it were me hiring Eiler somewhere, maybe not as a head coach, but maybe on the bench as an assistant, I think that having that head coaching experience actually helps his case. Because I think that's a quality, a leadership quality that some guys would want to look for. Just having that while also working under Huggins for so long actually helps him get a job somewhere else. even if the season went poorly.
I wonder if the way he plays is so different than the way he had to play this year. Because I just wonder if he goes in the portal, does he take Noah Farrakhan? Does he take Quinn Slezinski? Surely you'd rather have Trey Mitchell, Joe Toussaint. I just wonder sometimes about the whole from the obsession and this inception. And this is, maybe gets to your point. The experience is great. When he does get a new job, let's say it's a year from now, let's say it's a month from now, he'll go to the portal. His eye for the ingredients has to be totally different now. And it'll be different when he's at a lower level job. I understand that, because you can't have the conversations with a lot of the people you can have at West Virginia. And that might be for the best, because I just think that I wonder if the construction of the roster, and even in that second phase, was what he wanted or what he was comfortable with. And just by listening to him talking, you listened to the radio the other night, his final regular season appearance, and you can expand on this a little bit because you heard it and I've only read what you wrote. It sure sounded like he was leaving his breadcrumbs about how to put together a team, the emphasis of defense over offense not being what he's had to deal with this year, and that's what he's used to under Bob Huggins. That's a big thing for me, is that not his fault, but he knows right and wrong a little bit more now. Maybe it is his fault a little bit. Maybe he should have seen the way that roster was being constructed in an extremely difficult second phase. I understand that, but if he had a do-over, I'm sure he'd do it differently now. What have you made about some of his reflections here late in the season as you watched him in press conferences, as you listen to him on the radio, and maybe what he's telling us without actually saying it? Does that make sense?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, so, but he basically did say it. I mean, the whole season, it was a massive tone shift on his radio show between the season and this final one on Thursday last week. So he basically flat out said, these are the wrong players for me. He didn't throw them under the bus, but he basically said, we got to get guys who buy into winning and buy into that bulldog mentality defense. And he harped on that point for about 20 minutes. And he specifically referenced Joe Toussaint. Maybe that's recency bias a little bit, because Joe Toussaint, how whatever stat line he did in the Coliseum versus West Virginia, I don't even remember. It was good, though. I was there. And Joe Toussaint, he loves Joe Toussaint, and he wants more guys like him, and he wants to focus more on defense, but he can't. I mean, there was nothing he could do differently in the offseason, though. It wasn't a matter of picking the right players. It was picking players who you could, like, physically get on the team. There weren't any options, I don't think.
No, limited. And again, if you come with who you have and you don't like him, imagine what the alternatives are, and that's going to be difficult, too. There's this phenomenon, and I guess I don't think this is fair, but people will listen to Neil Brown and say, you know what? People don't care that the coach's life sucks, but this is a hard job right now. And I think that you can extend that similar thing to what happened to Iler this year, is that, boy, he got a dream job. He got a boost he was going to have to wait maybe years and years and years to get. Maybe he'd never get a Power 5 job. He might not ever get one again, and people don't feel bad for him. Man, I think that's unfair, because you just don't want it like this, and you don't want to go in handcuffed. It's like, I don't know, man, just imagine stepping in the batter's box and you can't use your bottom hand on the bat, or you got a bat left hand and your right hand. You're doing things differently you don't want to, and he's never really comfortable with it here, too. The way he controlled the team, though, never mind constructing it, the way he controlled the team, you're a good information source in this one here, so I'll let you go with this a little bit too. Some of the patterns that he subbed people in, some of the combinations he used, finding the hot hand, kind of like come and go with analytics. For example, really into analytics in the beginning of the year, he pulled Seth Wilson out of the starting lineup. Good idea, because he couldn't coexist with a certain player. I believe it was Slezinski. I think you might have actually even pointed that out. But if you look at a guy like Josiah Harris, analytics really favored his presence in the season. Harris never got consistent playing time and just kind of faded and wasn't very consistent down the stretch, too. First time, I understand it's going to be difficult for him to juggle this stuff, but what did you think? How did you evaluate the way that he tried to pull the strings and he tried to make the pieces fit, and whether it did or did not work?
Yeah, there was just so many bizarre lineup changes. It seemed, I mean, how many different starting lineups were announced throughout the year?
Quite a bit.
I mean, he was switching around. One of them was for senior day for sure, but I mean, there was so many changes with the lineups throughout the year, and I didn't really understand. I don't think you can make a team work by constantly changing the rotations. But once again, in this situation, you're figuring everything out on a shortened timeline. So it's not something, he's not in the same position as everyone else. He's still trying to figure everything out. So I understand why he did it. But it just goes back to the point of, this is an incredibly tough situation to be in, because you're just trying to figure everything out, especially your players that you got a month and a half before the season, or whenever they went in. So, but I think he did make some really good decisions. I think taking Kirk Risa and moving him off the ball, you know, he wasn't totally off the ball, but they did put him off the ball, and that was really, really good, because that's kind of a bold decision, because Kirk Carissa hadn't played off the ball at all at Arizona, and they said, you know what, we're putting him off the ball. We'll let him get some secondary action. We'll let him shoot, and that clearly worked. There was a lot of things that didn't work, but that turned Kirk Carissa into a very, very competent point guard, or shooting guard, I should say. I mean, his three-point percentage was 40, 43, something like that. It's incredible.
And was not a prolific shooter before this year either. I mean, obviously played on talented teams, didn't have to be the source of offense, but he definitely distributed more than he shot this year, and he shot it very well. And again, you're right, took him off the ball and really turned Kobe Johnson to like more of a point guard, which mixed results, I guess. But I mean, getting the ball out of Kreese's hands, getting it back to him, that worked a lot too. Historically, again, most losses in the regular season, most losses in school history, first time since 1918 the team didn't have a winning streak in the regular season. Again, last place finish again, 15 straight losses away from home. 0-9 again here, 0-4 neutral site games. That's all in the regular season. Just weird benchmarks that are going to be hard to forget. And unfortunately for Eilert, those will be pinned to him. How long that lasts, I don't know. I think that pretty confident about this, that people are going to look back at a media guide, you know, 15, 20 years from now and flip through and see the Eilert page and go, oh yeah, that's right. And then you can kind of, I don't know, you can italicize or put asterisks next to some of these low marks if they have a spot for most losses in school history in the record book. Don't believe they did. I understand why. But it's onward and upward now, and whoever comes in has a great runway, I would think. A lot of these things that people say are closed off or are not as open right now, like NIL, like donors, I just have to think the eagerness to turn it back on, to open it up and embrace a new coach again is high. And if Rem Baker does his job, hiring the right person and introducing him in the right way, I think that opens up here pretty quickly, which leads to our final topic here, Andrew. Crack your knuckles, crane your neck. Here we go. Prospective coaches. You've seen the names. You've raised a bunch of them here. I think a lot of people value your insight and some of the things that you see and have to say. You can go on the board. You can go off the board here. Is there someone? How about this? Let's not go the name right yet. A type. It could be an elbow rubber. It could be a defensive coach. It could be a roster builder. What? Not who. What belongs? What is needed to get this going in the right direction again?
Someone who zags when everyone else zigs. Because I don't think West Virginia is a job that requires that. But every team that has ton of success, Iowa State, for example, everyone says the analytics say your offense should be better than your defense if you want to win a national championship. But Iowa State, obviously they haven't won a national championship under T.J. Altzelberger, but he's having a ton of success after being very mediocre at UNLV because he is specializing in that defense. And the aspects of that defense are pretty unique too. They are doing something very specific that not a lot of teams do, and they are having a ton of success with it. I want to see a coach who specializes. It can be offense, not just a particular type of offense, but anything specific on defense, something unique that I want to see them specialize in.
I like it. The luxuries, the resources here, you could lift that up a little bit better where you could be good in the other area while you specialize in that. So you could be great on defense, but you could recruit better, let's say, develop better, and your offense comes up too. Now you got a great defense you're known for. With offense, you've kind of supplemented but also improved because of where you are right now. Vice versa, flip it around, that's fine too. I think that's good. And I know people want to like talk about NIL and MAC support. That's fine. That's secondary to me. I think what you're saying is fine. I'd much rather have an identity on offense or defense, a zag, whatever. I want to be good in the court. And I think that makes whatever happens off the court a lot easier. You win. You can have conversations. People come to you. You don't have to come to them. It's always different when you have to go to people and ask for stuff. When people are knocking on your door, that's fine. No one goes and buys Girl Scout cookies. They come to your house. That's how that works. And that's why it's that way. Now let's get into names. You've been banging the drum for some people for a while. Some of these people are on the list. Some people maybe aren't on the list here, though. Who are some people that you would like to see, and who are some people that you think we'll see incorporated here? You do not have to be beholden to version whatever we're into the hot board right now. You might have your eye on someone else. Now let's get to the who's. Who makes sense?
Ever since you've released your hot board, I basically focused on those names exclusively because I just don't have information. Like I could really want some random coach from the OVC. But it doesn't – I don't put any attention on them when it comes to research because as far as I'm concerned, they don't have a chance of being the next coach until they show up on your op board because that's where I get the information. So I will be focusing on your op board. But
– all right, that's fine. Flattery will get you nowhere here. So, like, let's that's fine. But is there – we'll get to that in a second. As a fan of the game or as someone who set the parameters as you have, is there an off the board? Is there an off the radar kind of guy? It could be an assistant coach. It could be an NBA coach. I don't know. Anybody that you think that has not been mentioned before we get to the actual names we've had?
If you want a totally off-the-wall coach that I love and hasn't been mentioned, was barely mentioned, if at all, on even my thread during this regular season, is Russell Turner. for UC Irvine. He is someone that I've watched as much as you can watch UC Irvine, so not a ton. And they are always good. Always. I don't know what his winning season streak is, but I think they've had a winning season every single year since like 2012, including God knows how many regular season titles. And they've only been to the tournament a few times, but that's a guy who, when I watch his teams, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy gets it. And I don't think there's a chance he becomes the next coach. I mean, he's a West Coast guy. I think he was with the Golden State Warriors under Kerr, and then he took the job. Mm-hmm. But that is a guy that I love. And if he somehow magically popped up in the discussion, I wouldn't be mad at whatsoever. But that said, the guys who are in the discussion are very good. But if you want an off-the-wall name, that's it.
I think he's from Virginia, actually.
Maybe that's why he came into my mind.
Possibly. I'm pretty sure he's from Virginia. Yeah, good guy. There's some actually decent coaches out there in that league. Like, it's a late night thing. You don't see it very lot. Like, because Pasternak's in that league too, right?
Oh yeah, and Pasternak's in the conversation for Washington.
Yeah.
As far as anyone besides Danny Sprinkle's name is in the conversation, as far as they can get.
Sprinkle's one that's interesting too, because he's been good in a couple of spots now, but pretty quickly. And I wonder about that. Could he make it? I don't know. I haven't heard him for West Virginia, but we'll see. All right, now let's go to the board here. These are favorites. As again, I'm not winging this here. These are kind of informed conversations, but I think a couple fit more than others here. A couple maybe coming off the board before long. Who knows? But I do think that West Virginia really desires at least a meeting with Dusty May. I think there's a Rem Baker relationship there, and it may work. And again, people in this business just kind of know Baker as being a basketball guy. And if you're a basketball coach, that's going to work, because the AD knows how to work with it. And if you've been a basketball coach and you're an AD, I just think you can speak the language a lot easier. So I think that you can have those conversations. Does it get him anywhere? I don't know. I think Darian DeVries is probably in the mix because of how good he's been and how indisputable his momentum is right now. I think Kyle Smith is in the mix because he's going to be available. I think he's made it pretty clear that he'd like to get off of the sinking ship and onto like more firm ground here too. And I don't know who your four spot is here, because I think it could be very fluid based on events. And maybe something pulls Dusty May out and pulls someone else in. Maybe there's a competition for the services of Darian DeVries. I don't know, but those are guys I would have at the top here. I don't know if you agree on that one, or if you think the people who maybe should be elevated in this conversation right now.
I think that top three is three of the four best coaches on the hot board that I'd most have. Besides McDermott, who is a name that I feel like is fading because of that contract extension. But besides McDermott, those are three of the four top names for me, along with Holloway.
Yeah, Holloway is super interesting. Kind of came out of nowhere. And that whole New York City thing is a scratch that could really help a lot of people here make that make sense for them. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Here's a guy who didn't do a whole lot, and all of a sudden he's in the Elite Eight with St. Peter's. Is that a once-in-a-lifetime thing? Maybe. Hadn't been bad at Seton Hall, and I think this is a guy who knows he's good, and the industry knows he's good. How long can he do it at Seton Hall? How high can he go, and would you make a move? Trouble is a guy like from Metro New York City area. Is he going to go to West Virginia? I don't know, but again, people have done that. Like, a lot of players have come here and succeeded. And does he know, you know, some of the connections here? Could he talk to a Deshaun Butler? Could he talk to a Chuck Bryant? You know, guys like that. Does that even happen? I don't know. But, like, it's funny how wired those guys are all together, too. So be curious to see where that goes and how that works out. I'm not sure. Apart from that, I do think that there's a separation. I think there's a top four. And, again, I'm not saying my list is all-inclusive, but I think that West Virginia hits the ground here with people that wants to get into a room with, and again, that could be a hotel conference room. It could be an airport conference room. I don't think you're going to see people on campus at WVU. I think it's going to be top four. And then if it doesn't work, you elevate or you vet the group in the middle, which I guess gets to this. It looks like a pretty healthy list, doesn't it? Again, I'm not saying I'm accurate here, but I think it's probably a pretty accurate core with maybe some people who we do not have and know on the list, but still, if they're that good, there's really no excuse to get this wrong. I mean, in 5 years, it may be wrong. In 2 years, it may be wrong. But I think that they're not going to go and botch this and just tank the press conference, so to speak, where people are going like, this is absolutely not going to work. That's a sign that things are healthy, right?
Yeah, well, I really like the direction from the info we've gotten. that where this search is going, because those top names are all guys that I have confidence have a, I'll say, very high chance of succeeding at West Virginia, because you never know, but I'd say very high chance. I think I love the names that are on the list overall, because even the ones that are least preferred of me comparatively are still guys who I think could win here.
Where do you sit on Chris Mack?
Great coach. He's proven that for however long. But can you come back? There's a reason why he's not coaching right now. Can he come back from what happened with that assistant coach? Is he ready to coach again? And he's also never worked the portal before. That's less of a concern for me for someone like Beilein, who, to be fair, I don't think is getting the job, or doesn't want the job, I should say. But because he just wants so much. But Chris Mack's resume isn't quite as good, so he doesn't get the golden pass for not working the portal before. He did have a lot of success, though, bringing in transfers in that pre-portal era, but it's a different game now entirely. So he's got to have the will to coach again. He can't be broken. And I don't know if he is or not.
It's crazy, like, how that used to be an art where, like, John Beilein, for example, was pretty good about getting transfers and stashing them. Mike Gainsey, Dior Fisher, just to name a few here in Morgantown. And, like, that used to be a niche thing, but now it's not. Now you have to do it. So, like, yeah, Mack was the guy who did it, and that helped him separate himself a little bit, but that's not nearly the same right now. Well, there we have it. West Virginia moving on from Josh Eilert. Season's over. Offseason begins. A coaching search now underway that, honestly, I think all the back work has been done, and that, like, they're ready to hit the ground and go here. They've been idling in the driveway for a little bit. Now the windows are defrosted, cars warmed up. Time to go here. We will have plenty more as this happens. Andrew will chime in from now and again to help us out. We will have updates. We'll have news, hopefully before anybody else, but certainly not long after with Engel's perspective. You might not get anywhere else. Andrew, thank you for doing this. We will be back sometime soon. Until then, enjoy the search.